Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, two lines down. The Gemara here is discussing Kasha de Rabbi Yossi at the Rabbi Yossi. In yesterday's daf, we saw that there was a machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, and their positions actually were reversed between the Mishnah and the Braita. In the Mishnah, we have that Safek, with regards to Tchumin, Rabbi Meir is the Chumrah, and says that the person is stuck, whereas Rabbi Yossi says that if it's a Safek Eruv, it is Kasher. So there, Rabbi Yossi is Mekil, and Rabbi Meir is Machmir in a case of Safek. Then we brought a Braita down with regards to Safek Tumah, and in that instance, the Tanakama, we assumed was Rabbi Meir, said Sfeiko Tahor. And Rabbi Yossi said that Safek was Tameh. So in yesterday's daf, we answered why it is that it's not a stira for Rabbi Meir. The first answer of the Gemara is that Tchumim are Deoraita, and therefore Rabbi Meir is Machmir by Tchumim by Safek Deoraita, whereas by the issue of Tumah, these were all Tumot Midrabanan, and therefore by Safek Tumah Midrabanan, Rabbi Meir was Mekil and said that Sfeiko Tahor. Then the Gemara challenges that, can it really be that Rabbi Meir holds Tchumim Deoraita, because we have other Braitot that seem to indicate otherwise. The Gemara there answered that that was the opinion of his Rebbe versus his opinion, and that differentiation then will resolve that problem. And then the Gemara asked, well, we have another issue, Midoraita, that Rebbe Meir seems to say that the Safek over there is Tahor, which seems to me that he's Mekil. And there the Gemara then set it up as a case where you have two Kitei Edim that are arguing about whether something happened or didn't happen. And according to Rabbi Meir, that undermines the Chazakah associated with that item, because the Edim are testifying that it was ruined, the Chazakah, even though there's another Kitei Edim that offsets them. That's not enough to change the fact that the Chazakah now has been undermined. And then Rava gave the final answer, which was that there's a difference between the case of Beit Ha'arot. We have two Chazakot. We have the first one, which is the individual himself was Tahor before this. So we leave the individual al-Cheskato that he was Tahor, and therefore he should retain that Tahorah. And the second Chazakah was the person that was sleeping next to him was also alive when he went to sleep. So you have two Chazakot that lean in favor of saving Tahor, and therefore he paskin that in a case of Safek, we go to Tahorah. By the case of Eruvin, there's only one Safek over here and one Chazakah. The Chazakah was that the item was still extant at the time of Ben HaShmashot, and therefore you only have one Chazakah upholding that, and that's been undermined by the Edim that are coming to testify otherwise. And even though, again, there are two sets of Edim, one that says it was there, one says it wasn't, that's enough already to undermine that single Chazakah. And because of that, Rava claims that's the differentiation between Rabbi Meir's opinion in our Mishnah, where he's Machmir because he didn't do Oraita, and the case of Tumah do Oraita, where he is Mekil, because there are two Chazakot in that case that go to Tahara. So it turned out that according to Rabbi Meir, you'll have three different distinctions. When you're dealing with a Safek Drabanan, he goes to Kula and says it's Tahor. By Safek Eruv, where he thinks it's Doraita, he goes to Chumra. But even in Tumah and Tahara, when there's a Safek Doraita and there are two Chazakot that support the side that says that it's Tahor, even there, by a Safek Doraita, he will still go to Kula and say that it is Tahor. But then the Gemara now goes back and says, okay, we have the same problem for Akasha de Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has the same problem. In the Mishnah, he says Safek Eruv is the Kula. And in the Braita that we brought with regards to Tumaut de Rabbanan, he there says Safek Lochumra. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna bar Chinina, shiny Tumah, hovi yesh la ikar min haTorah. The Tumah has a basis in the Torah. Yes, all of these gzerot are gzerot derabanan, but they are riding on top of an issue that is an issue de oraita, and the gzerot are to protect against tumot de oraita, and therefore they instituted tumot derabanan. And therefore we're machmir with regards to the issues derabanan, because if people are mezalzel in a safek tumah derabanan, they're also going to come to be mezalzel in a safek tumah deoraita, and that obviously has ramifications or repercussions that we don't want. And therefore they were machmir in sfeikot derabanan in order to engender that people will also be machmir when it comes to sfeikot in tumot deoraita. Shabbat, Gemara says, nama deoraita hi. With regards to Shabbat, it's also deoraita. The assumption being here that he believes that Tchumim are Deoraita, and the Ritva points out that this questioner must have assumed that that wasn't the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, because we already established that Rabbi Meir believes Tchumim are Deoraita. Based on this questioner, that means that Rabbi Yossi also thinks that are Tchumim are Deoraita, because otherwise they should have just argued on that point, whether Tchumim are Deoraita, Tchumim de Rabbanan, why don't they directly address the point of their machloket? And therefore, the questioner is perplexed as to why it is that by Tumah, Rabbi Yossi would be Machmir, because it has an Ikar min haTorah, Shabbat or Tchumim are Doraita, so certainly there he should have been Machmir. The Gemara's answer is, Kasava, Rabbi Yossi, Tchumim de Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi believes that Tchumim are Midrabanan, And the Ritva notes, from this answer of the Gemara, it seems like when we say Tchumim are the Rabbanan, we mean the Rabbanan Legamre. Not like what Yushalmi suggests, that even those that hold Tchumim the Rabbanan, they believe that 12 mil is still the Oraita. Here the Bavli seems to indicate that once it's the Rabbanan, it's completely the Rabbanan. And now we have a distinction between the Rabbanan of Tchumim and the Rabbanan of the Gzerot Tumah. That is, by the Gzerot Tumah, they are riding on top of an Ikar Min HaTorah, a Tumah that has a basis in the Torah, and the Gzerot are to protect against that Tumah Doraita. But with regards to Tchumim, the assumption is here that there is no Tchumim Doraita. This is all a Din Derabonon. Now yes, with regards to Shabbat, Shabbat is Doraita. But the area that we're speaking about within the subset of Shabbat is the area of Tchumim. And in that area, there is no Ikar Midoraita, because as Rashi says, the Melechet Shabbat, Leket HaMigzar, Dodomu Melechot Tchumim. You don't say that's Ikar Midoraita, because these are two different worlds. Melechet Shabbat and Melechot and Shabbat, which do have an Ikar Doraita, those items, you would make Gzerot, and those Gzerot Rabbanan might have a higher level or a different status where you would say the Safek is the Chumrah. But over here, Tchumim is its own Tchum, pun intended, it's its own area of Halacha, and therefore in that area, there is no basis Doraita. So if they're Mekel by Tchumim, they're not going to come to be Mekel by Melachot Shabbat when there is a Safek. So the Gemara says, V'ibaitema, another possibility over here is, Hadidei Hadirabe. These opinions that are differentiated, one is his own opinion, and one is that of his Rebbe, which means that by the case of Tumah, he is Machmir, by the case of Safek, and by Eruv, he would have been also Machmir, but it's not him, it's his Rebbe. Tekanami, and you can be Medayik that from our Mishnah, Diktani. Am Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, he says, Avtulamus heid mishum chamishas kenim shesafek eruv kasher. That when you have a safek with regards to eruv, it is kasher. Shmamina, that he's quoting that in the name of his Rebbe, and that is not necessarily his opinion. So that's another solution. It does not necessarily undermine what we said before, that Rabbi Yossi holds that tchumim are the Rabbanan, but it's just saying he will be consistent. That in tchumim the Rabbanan, he would have said safek the chumrah, just like he would have said the same thing with regards to tumah the Rabbanan, that it's the chumrah. The reason for the differentiation is because he's quoting his Rebbe, but not quoting his own opinion. Had he been his own opinion, they would have been consistent. So the only thing this answer did was reject this idea that there are differentiations within Dinei Derabbanan between Ikar Min HaTorah and when it doesn't have Ikar Min HaTorah. This suggests that he's consistent in his opinion. He will be Machmir in all of these cases. It's just that he's quoting his Rebbe's position in the Mishnah. Rava makes a third suggestion, which is Rava Amar, Hatam Hainu Taimo de Rabbi Yossi. Over there, Rabbi Yossi's reasoning is Hamed Tamei al Chazkato. You put the Tamei on his Chazaka. He was Tamei until this point in time. The Safek is whether he became Tahor. So if you could put him in his original Chazaka, in the status quo, which was there beforehand, that status quo was Tamei. Ve'ema lo Tavau. And we'll assume that he didn't go to the mikveh, and therefore he maintains the status quo of being Tamei. Gemara says, Adraba, he made mikveh al chezkato. What about the fact that the mikveh was a kosher mikveh? And so the assumption should be that it was kosher, and it remains kosher, and therefore he went to the mikveh. We're not going to say that now that the mikveh is missing some of its water, that it was always missing water, because the assumption was that this was a kosher mikveh until this point in time. And assume that the chazaka is that the mikveh was not missing the water, and therefore it was tahor at the time that he went to the mikveh. One chazaka, which he is tamei, versus the chazaka of the mikveh being tahor. My answer is shalom nimdad. It's a case where the mikveh had never had a chazaka of being tahor. It was never measured. So we never knew for certain that this mikveh was tahor. So now when we're looking at it after the fact, then we don't have an ability to know whether at one point it was a kosher mikveh, and therefore the chazaka doesn't exist on the tzad l'tara. And that's what Tosafot points out. The same Gemara in Nida says that the chazaka of the mikveh is undermined because we say, harei chaser lefanecha. You have a mikveh that is not whole or is not fully kosher in front of you, and so it undermines the chazaka that existed beforehand. So he says, but the Gemara did not bring that up over here because it's not a case where the mikveh was measured and found chaser. So Tosafot makes the suggestion that not only was it not measured beforehand, it wasn't measured afterwards as well. And therefore, we don't know when it became chaser. We don't know anything about the chazaka. So there's no chezkat tara, there's no chezkat tuma, but that means that it's a fake, and it doesn't have any ramifications with regards to our case. And therefore, the only chazaka you have is that this individual was tamei and should remain tamei. And that's why Rabbi Yossi is machmir in the case of tuma, which is not true by the case of the Eruv, because in the case of the Eruv, chazaka was that the Eruv was there, and it went to effect at the time of Ben Hashmashot. And therefore, over here, you only have one chazaka, which is the chumrah, to say that the person is tamei. By Eruv, you have offsetting chazakot. You have the chazaka that the Eruv was there and still remained extant at the time of Ben Hashmashot. And the chumra on the other side, which is the person's found in his house. And that is his natural tchum, is where he is actually found. But those are two offsetting chazakot. And therefore, by Eruv, which is the Rabbonon, we went to the Kula. And the same would be true with Tumat. We would have gone to Kula if we had two chazakot that are offsetting each other. But there we don't have the offsetting or the mitigating chazaka litara. We don't have a chazaka litumah. And because of that, we assume that he is Tameh. Tanya. Now we have a braita. Ketzad amar Rabbi Yossi safek eruv kasher. Where is that instance, or what is the case where Rabbi Yossi says that if you have a safek and eruv, we assume that the eruv is kasher? And you have to assume here that the case is a case where you have two sets of edim that are arguing about this issue, because that's where we saw before that Rabbi Meir believes that a safek eruv is not an eruv, and Rabbi Yossi thinks it is an eruv. The fact that the braita says it's in Rabbi Yossi's position and not Rabbi Meir says we're speaking about that case, which is the differentiating case between them. Because had it been just a simple safek of a eruv, then even Rabbi Meir, according to the conclusion we had in yesterday's daf, then he would agree that according to Rova, that is a chazaka that should make it that the safek with regards to a eruv should also be kasher. Erev betruma. If he put out his eruv with truma, safek mi bo'od yom nitmeit, safek mi chashecha nitmeit. And we have a safek now whether it became tamei when it was still daytime. And therefore the Eruv is not good, because even if he's a Kohen, he can't eat this Truma, because Truma Tmeah is not edible. And therefore it would not function as a food substance or a meal that could create the Eruv or the Shvitah that he needs in the location where the food was put. But we don't know if it became Tameh before nightfall, or if it only became Tameh after nightfall. Obviously the Nafkamina is whether the Eruv was good at the time of Ben Hashmashot. Or similarly, Chayin Perot, Safek mi bo'od yom nitkanu, Safek mi chashecha nitkanu. We have Perot that are Tevel. As long as those Perot are Tevel, they can't be used as the Eruv because they're not edible. Nobody can eat them. Not a Kohen, not a Yisrael. Nobody can eat Tevel. And so therefore, the assumption is that it's not good. But then somebody did Hatkana, which is that they took off the Trumot and Masrot. We just don't know if the Trumot and Masrot were removed before nightfall, and therefore Ben Hashmashot, whatever was there was Mitukan, and then edible and usable as an Eruv, or it only happened after nightfall that the Trumot and Masrot were taken off, and that means that at the time of the Ben Hashmashot, it was still Tevel and it's not good. Zehu Safek Eruv Kasher. That's the instance where Rabbi Yossi says that if you had a Safek Eruv, we would say that it is Kasher. Aval, Erev bitruma, safek Torah, safek Tmeah, if he put down truma in the first place, but he doesn't know the truma that he put down, whether it was Tahor or Tameh, the way Tosafot structures the case is that he has two piles in front of them, one is Tameh, one is Tahor, and he took from one of the piles. He's not sure whether he took from the Tameh pile, or he took from the Tahor pile, and he was Me'arev with one of those piles, and so now he has no idea whether he put down Tahor or he put down Tameh. So there, the safek existed prior to the Eruv ever being put down. The Chaim Peirot, safek nitkanu, safek lo nitkanu. Or if you have items that we're not sure whether they had Trumot and Masrot taken off of them, they were Tevel, and we're not sure if it ever was removed, the Tevel or not removed, ein zeh safek Eruv kasher. That's not the case where we say the Eruv is kasher, because in the latter two cases, there was never a Chezkat Kashrut. We never knew for certain that the Trumah was Tehorah, to say that there's a Chazakah to rely on. By the case of the Tevel, we never had it be that it was Chulin before the Ben Hashmashot, because it was a Safek along. As Rashi says, Lo Yasham Chezkat Hechsher Eruv Me'olam. There was never a Chazakah of Hechsher Eruv, which means that Rashi thinks that the Chazakah that we are relying on here, in all these cases, that there is a chazaka that the Eruv took effect. It's not a chazaka that you had heter here that later became Isur, but rather it's something that was an Eruv, and therefore it retains its chazaka as being an Eruv, rather than it being a chazaka that there's heter, and the Isur only came later. In the first two cases, there's a chazaka that exists, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Is that really true? Maishna Truma, Damar Hemei Truma al Chezkata. Why do you say by the Truma, we say Hemed Truma Chezkata and say that it was Tohorah at the time that you put it down? Therefore it remains in that Chazaka, Vemet Tohorahi, and that's why it's Tahor, and that's why the Eruv is Kasher. Perot Nami, the case of the Perot that were Tevel when you put them down, and then afterwards he was Mafrish Trumot Masrot, why don't we say Hemed Tevel Al Chezkato? Let's assume that it was Tevel when you put it down, and that's the Chazaka, that's the status quo of that item, and it shouldn't have changed just because you have a safek as to whether you did it before or after Ben Hashmashot. So if you're going to be consistent in that the Chazaka is what dictates over here, then in the second case of the Braita, the case where you put down Tevel, and we're not sure if you fixed it, we're Mafrish, the Trumot and Masrot, either before Ben Hashmashot or after Ben Hashmashot, over there the Chazaka should dictate that it's problematic. Ve'ema lo nitkanu. And then we would say that there was no Hatkana, there was no Hafreshat Shumot Masrot, and there would be no Eruv over here. Lo Teima, Safek Mi Bojom Nitkanu. Don't say it in the bright that was a Safek whether they were tithe before nightfall or not. Ela ema sefek beojom nidmeu sefek michashecha nidmeu. Question is not about whether they were tevel and now they had the tithes taken off of them, so they're chulin. Rather, they were chulin in the first place, and now that they were chulin, nidmeu dimua. Generally, in shas means a mixture of chulin and truma, and that's the first explanation that Rashi brings down, that this is a case where Truma fell into them. Now, Truma fell into the Chulin, and when it becomes Dimua, it cannot be eaten by a regular Yisrael. It can only be eaten by a Kohen because it has Truma mixed into it, and Truma has a Chiyuv Mita Bidei Shemayim. So now, it was Chulin going in. The Chazaka was that it was Chulin, and then Truma fell into it. That Truma will ruin it for the Yisrael. So now we have in our Mishnah, we saw before, that you don't have to have something that you can eat. Even if the Kohen can eat it, that's good enough for you. Except for one opinion in the Mishnah, and that's Sumchus. And that's what Rashi suggests over here. This bright would then would have to be according to Sumchus, who says that Rabbi Yossi would then have to be fall in the position of Sumchus, that only if it's ra'oi for the person who the Eruv is for, is it a good Eruv. It has to be ra'oi l'achila for that particular person. And since this person's not a Kohen, it would not be good for him because it turned into Truma. Nevertheless, we give him the chazaka that it was chulin when he put it down, and we don't assume it got ruined before that. So that's the first way to explain it. That's a classic way to explain dimua in Shas. Rashi brings a second possibility, which is that the dimua over here is that the chulin had tevel that fell into it. Not Truma that fell into it, but tevel. Tevel falls into chulin. Not only can a Yisrael not eat it, nor can a Kohen eat it, because now there's Tevel mixed in with Chulin. Now that's not your classic form of Dimua, but it is a mixture of sorts, and Tosafot heavily favors that explanation because the Braita says that Ma'arvin b'Truma, that you can use Truma as your Eruv. And if it's going to use Truma as Eruv, you can't assume that it means only for a Kohen, because that's Sumchus's view. So if you want to be consistent, then you would have to suggest that part of the Braita that speaks about Truma for an Eruv was speaking about only if it was done by a Kohen. And the Braita never stipulates that, and he says it's Dochuk to suggest that. Therefore, it would be more consistent that it's not like Sumchus, and it would have worked if it was Yisrael and it was Truma. But the Dimua here is not your classic Dimua. It's chulin that got mixed with tevel, and that mixture then causes it to be problematic for the Yisrael to eat and for a Kohen to eat, and therefore it's not ra'oi, and that was the problem. But again, it started out as chulin, and therefore the chazaka is that it was chulin. Given that the chazaka was chulin, whether the dimo happened before or after nightfall, it is a safek, and the chazaka stands, and therefore we say the safek eruv is kasher. Ba Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mi Rav Huna. Hayu lefanav shtei kikarot. He has two loaves in front of him. Achat tmeah v'achat tohora. One of them is tameh, one of them is tohor. You have to assume here that we're talking about shuma, because if it's chulin, then tumah and tahara don't impact on the item, except if you eat chulin b'taharat hakodesh or tarat shuma. So over here, you could have eaten it if it was chulin. The only time it has a nafkamina is if it's shuma, then it cannot be eaten, because if it's tmeah, it is impermissible to eat it, not only for Yisrael, but even for a Kohen. And if it is Torah, even though an Yisrael can't eat it, a Kohen could eat it. And either if it's a Kohen putting down the Eruv, according to Sumchus, or according to the other Tanaim, even if Yisrael uses it, it would have been a fine Eruv. So he has two loaves of bread, two loaves of Truma, one Tohor, one Tameh. And then he says, V'amar Yiruli b'Torah, b'chol makom shi'i. Whichever one of these is the Hora one, I want you to make my Eruv with him. So the person who acts on his behalf takes both loaves of bread and puts them out in the area when he wants to have his Shvitah to create his Tchum Shabbat from that location. And he puts both the Tohor and the Tameh loaf down, that is Truma. Mau, what's the din over here? And he frames the question. Tibai le Rabbi Meir. It's a question according to Rabbi Meir. And Tibai le Rabbi Yossi. And it's a question even according to Rabbi Yossi. Tibai le Rabbi Meir. In the Mishnah where Rabbi Meir is machmir and says safek eruv is problematic. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir hotam the leket Torah. That's because over there, there's nothing that is absolutely certain that it works. We have a safek. We don't know whether you had an eruv there at that time. And therefore we go to Chumrah. In this case, we know you have for sure one Eruv that is good. One of the loaves is Tameh, the other one is Tohor. So even though you don't know which is which, nevertheless, one of them is a good Eruv. And therefore, maybe we could rely on it. You could rely on the Torah. Odilma. Or maybe the other way around. Afilu the Rabbi Yossi, who normally says that Safek Eruv is Kasher, Lo Kamar Elahata. That's only in the case, like our Mishnah, Dim'ita Dehi Tohora, that if it was there, it was Truma Tohora, Yodola. You know which one is Tohora. You know what is your Eruv, because if it didn't become Tamei, that's the item that was Tohor. V'hocha halo Yodola. Over here, even if you put both down, he never knows which one he can eat, and he never could really eat either of them, because he says a fake about both of them. Even though one of them for sure is Tahor, nevertheless, he doesn't know which one that is, and he can't eat that meal. Amalei, so Rav Huna answers him, ben the Rabbi Yossi, ben the Rabbi Meir, doesn't matter if you're like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Meir, be'inan tzudah ru'uyam mibod yom v'leka. You need something that is possibly edible while it's still daytime, and that is absent over here. Because even if he was there, and he went out to eat one of those loaves, he couldn't eat them. And since it's not a tzudah ru'uyam mibod yom, it can't function as an eruv when it comes into ben hashmashot. As opposed to the cases that we brought in the Braita before, whereby if you were there and it was chulin, you would have been able to eat it because you would have known what item it is. You could eat it because it was a kosher eruv, and that makes it that when it comes to ben hashmashot, it was a good eruv. Yes, there's a safek whether it maintained that status, but if it did maintain that status, you knew which item it was and you could have eaten it. Over here, you don't know which of the items is the right one, and therefore you never have the capacity to eat it because of the safek exists to the point where you never had the possibility of identifying what you could eat before the safek arose. And even though this case is not similar to our case of our Mishnah where there's a chazoka involved, nevertheless, since we have Rabbi Yossi le Kula and Rabbi Meir le Chumra in Eruvin, they use them as the guides to state the opinions of le Chumra and le Kula, even though it's not exactly the same case as we had in the Mishnah. So Rava, Talmud of Rav Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, Kikar zo hayom chol ulamachar kodesh. I have a loaf of bread that today is chol, and tomorrow I want it to be sanctified, I want it to become kodesh. V'amar irvuli bazeh. And he says, make my eruv with this loaf. Mahu, what's the din? Amalei, eruvo, eruv. He says, that's a good eruv. So the assumption being is that it doesn't turn into kodesh till the next day, and that means that when the time when the eruv took effect, it was still chol. And since it was still chol when the eruv took effect, it's a good eruv. So he gives in the opposite case. Hayom kadosh ulamachar chol. Today is kadosh, and tomorrow it's not going to have that kiddusha. So Rashi explains over here, hayom kadosh ulamachar chol ala ma'ot sheish li babayit. That tomorrow it'll be redeemed on the money that I have in my house. So tomorrow the redemption will take place. It will take the sanctity off of the item. That item then will be chulin or chol, and therefore it will be ra'oy le'eruv. Bamar ivru li bazeh. And then he says, make an eruv with this. Mahu, what's the din there? Amalei, ein eruv vo eruv. Over there, his eruv is not an eruv. And Rava says to Rav Nachman, Maishna, I don't understand this. You have a safek ben hashmashot in both of these instances. In one instance, you have a safek of it going from chol to kodesh. And the other instance, you have a safek of it going from kodesh to chol. And you have ben hashmashot where we don't know where in the ben hashmashot period that transition happens. And on top of that, you need the eruv to take effect in that ben hashmashot period. And we don't know where in that ben hashmashot period it's going to take place. So how are you so certain that in one case it works and in the other case it doesn't work? If you don't know when the kniyat eruv takes place during that ben hashmashot period and you don't know when the kodesh turns over during that period of time, then how do you know which way to go in each of these instances? You have a safek in both cases. And why would you go the kula in one case and the chumra in the other case? So Rashi claims that the safek here, or the question that Rava is posing is, ben hashmashot is a safek. How do you know in one instance to go the kula and say it's a good eruv, and the other instance to go the chumra and say that it is not a good eruv? It's somewhat difficult because Rav Nachman is consistent in his opinion. He is saying that it works in one case and it doesn't work in the other case. He's not saying that it works in both cases or doesn't work in both cases, and therefore he is somewhat consistent in his opinion, in fact, that he says that it works when it's chol coming in, and it doesn't work when it's kodesh coming in, which means that he has the same threshold point that makes the difference. So therefore, there are others that explain here. The question Rava is posing to Rav Nachman is that the understanding of why it works when you're going chol into kodesh is because a person is not makdish something misafek. That means that until it's vaday laila, he's not makdish this item. And he's not makdish this item until it's vaday laila. That means that he doesn't want to have any time where it's a safek kodesh, and that's why the eruv took effect. Well, if that's the case, then when you have it hayom kodesh and the machar chol, the same thing should apply by ben hashmashot. During that period of ben hashmashot where it's a safek whether it's going to be kodesh or not, he should already want it to be chol because he doesn't want to be left in any position where it is a safek. And since he doesn't want to be left in that position, he believes that it should also be a good eruv in the case where it went from being kodesh to chol. Rachman Achman in jest, a little cheekily, says, "V'chituchol alei kura de milcha." If you go and measure for me a kur worth of salt, then I'll tell you the answer to this question. And he says, "Hayom chol ulamachar kodesh." It is a case where it was chol today, and the item was transferring to become kodesh. Misvecha lo nachta le'kedusha. In that case, misafek, the kedusha does not devolve on the item. That means that it waits until after nightfall before the kedusha is chal. And for that reason, benesh mashot, it was fine. It was still chol, and therefore the eruv is chal. When he says ayom kodesh lemachar chol, misveka lo pokole kedushat dayamine. The benesh mashot, when the kniyat eruv takes place, is a suffix. And therefore misveka lo tifke mimilte kemaito. Then it shouldn't change the original status. V'chein v'seifa. And so too in the seifa, meaning that since it's a suffix all along, the chazaka of what that was there before retains its status going in, even though there is a safek about it. And therefore, when it was kodesh, that remains kodesh. When it's kol, it remains kol, because of the safek is not mufkia, midei what we know, vadai, coming into that period of time. And that's why Rav Nachman says to Rava, I pask in that way, because one was kodesh coming in, therefore it's problematic, the other one was kol coming in, and the safek is not mutzi midei that chazaka. That's Rashi's explanation of the answer of Rav Nachman. The other Rishonim, who we mentioned before, explained Rav Nachman's answer in the following manner. Just like in the case where he's transforming it from chol to kodesh, he doesn't want it to transform until it's for certain. The same thing is true the other way around. Not the way that Rava framed it, which is, you never want it to be safek kodesh, and therefore you would opt for it to be not kodesh much earlier on. It's the other way around. Whenever you're doing a transformation, you don't want the transformation to happen until it's certain that transformation can happen. And that means so too over here, when it's going from kodesh to chol, the chol does not take effect until after nightfall, because that's when it's certain that it is chol. In that case, it was kodesh throughout the ben hashmashot, and that's why the eruv is not chal ben hashmashot, according to Rav Nachman. Tanan otam, we have a mishnah in tvuyom, lagin tvuyom shemilu min hachavit shel maaser. You have a small pitcher or a smaller barrel that they poured out items that were maaser from a much bigger utensil, and they need to take off chumat maaser from this maaser. Problem is that the utensil into which it was poured is a tvul yom utensil. It went to the mikveh, and it needs sunset in order to be tahor. A tvul yom does not have impact on maaser or chulin. It doesn't make them tameh. So as long as the item remains chulin, it's not a problem in terms of the tumah. As soon as you transform it into chumat maaser, which is the obligation of the Levi to give from Maaser Rishon 10% to the Kohen, which is Chumat Maaser, then that Chumat Maaser is the same thing as Chumah, and Chumah is impacted by a Tful Yom, and it does make it Tamei, and it would ruin it. So this individual doesn't want it to transform into Chumat Maaser until after the sun sets, and then it becomes Tahor Legamrei. And so therefore he frames it this way. He has this lagin tvul yom, that utensil that is tvul yom, that he had poured out, say for instance wine or oil, from a larger min hachavit shel maaser, a much larger utensil that has maaser rishon in it. So he poured 10% into this lagin, and it's maaser tevel. Tevel means it still has things to remove from it. The only thing you need to remove from maaser rishon is chumat maaser. V'amar. This is how he stipulates it. Arizeh chumat maaser likeshetech shach. That this will be chumat maaser, will go into effect when it's nightfall. Dvarav kayamim. It works. Meaning that he delays the onset or the effectiveness of the chumat maaser until the utensil that he poured the chumat maaser into will be tahor. And he says, in the future, it will be chumat maaser at the moment that that utensil is already tahor. V'im amar irvuli bazeh. What happens if that utensil, he asks someone to make him an iru with it? Lo amar klum. It doesn't work. Why? Because the effectiveness of the chumat maaser is only once it is nightfall and it is tahor. So that means that until that point in time, what was in the original barrel is tevel, and what is in this lagin is also tevel, because they're from the same source. They only become divided into maaser rishon and chumat maaser after nightfall. Before that, they are tevel, they're mixed together, and you can't eat it because it has chumat maaser mixed into it. It's tevel, and nobody can eat it, and therefore it's not what we need to be an eruv. Amarava, Rava says, you can conclude from this braita, zotomeret, sofayom kone eruv. The end of the day is what effectuates the eruv. And therefore, it was still Tevel at that moment in time. I mean, the end of Friday is the effective moment of the Eruv. We don't know where in Benesh Mashot that is. But wherever it is, that's when the Eruv takes effect. And you have to say that because D.E. If you believe that it's the beginning of Shabbat that actually has the Eruv go effective, and again, you don't know where that is in Benesh Mashot, but it's the moment Shabbat starts, that's when the Eruv takes effect, then then why didn't it work? At the same moment that nightfall happens, it becomes Tohor, that becomes Trumat Maser, and now the Trumat Maser is edible by the Kohen. The Maaser Rishon is the Levi's, or it's Chulin, it can be eaten by anybody. And therefore, both of them are Mutukanim. So if you use either one of those items, they're now good for an Eruv. So if at that moment they're good for an Eruv, and that's when the Kinyan Eruv takes place, then they happen simultaneously, and it should have been a good Eruv. The fact that we say it's not a good Eruv shows you that he thinks the Eruv took place before the Tvul Yom went away, became Tohar, and the Truman Maaser went effective. The only way to say that is to say that the Eruv goes into effect at the tail end of Friday, the last moment of Friday, and that the Trumat Maser and the Tvul Yom disappearing happens at the first moment of Shabbat. And therefore, it's too late at that point in time to help you out with the Eruv, which already expired at the end of Friday. Now, the Baal Yetosafot point out that even though Rova is saying this, he's saying that is the conclusion from the Braita, he himself does not believe that. And he believes that b'tchilat ayom kone eruv, the beginning of the day is when the kniat eruv happens, and that's why he challenged Rav Nachman before. Because then, according to Rava's own opinion, Rav Nachman makes sense. Because Rav Nachman said that if it's going from being kodesh to chol, it's no good, and that's because at the end of the day, it was still kodesh. And vice versa, if it was chol going to kodesh, at the end of the day it was chol, and only turned over into the new day. And then Rava would have no question Rav Nachman's position. It was really Sof Hayom Koneh. So it must be that Rava himself holds that Tchilat Hayom is Koneh, meaning the beginning of Shabbat is Koneh. He's just telling you, according to this Braita, that is what the conclusion you would come to. And Rav Papa says, you don't have to say that. I'm Rav Papa, if you do Tema Tchilat Hayom Koneh, that the Eruv takes effect immediately at the beginning of Shabbat. Be'inan Suda Ruya Be'od Yom Veleka. This is what we saw earlier in the Daf, which is that you need a Suda that is Ruya when it's still daylight, meaning that the Suda has to be something identifiable, usable, consumable by the individual or any other individual coming into the time when the Eruv is going to take effect. Mi bojom, when it's still daytime, it has to be effective. Then the effective date or time is at the beginning of Shabbat. That doesn't mean that it just can become a ra'oi meal at that moment. It has to be ra'oi before that, and then goes effective at the moment of Tchilat Hayom. And so what Papa says is that even in this case, even if you believe Tchilat Hayom Koneh, you still have a problem because never on the day of Friday was this an item that could be consumed. And therefore, it is not a good Eruv, even though at the effective moment it was edible. But nevertheless, Mibol Jom, it was not, and you needed to be Ra'oi Mibol Jom in order for it to go effective at Tchilat Yom. And if that's the case, you can't prove anything about the Braita's opinion with regards to when Eruv takes effect, whether it's at the end of Friday or the beginning of Shabbat. And even though here too you could say that, like Rav Nachman said before, a person is in Makdish something misafek, so that maybe should be the same reasoning that the Trumat Maser doesn't take effect until much later. The Rishonim say that that's not the case here. That's either because of the language used. The language before was Lemachar, which indicates something that's tomorrow, not misafek now. Whereas Kedetech Shach is something that says that as soon as it's Choshech, then I want it to take effect, and therefore even in a Makom Safek or a Zman Safek, it would take effect, and that's why there's a question here. Or you could say that in this instance, his vested interest is in the item being Mitukan, and therefore as soon as it possibly be Mitukan, he'd want it to be Mitukan. There's the other case where he is trying to transform something, Kodesh to Chol, Chol to Kodesh, over there he just doesn't want to be left in a Safek. There's no impetus for it happening right away. His impetus is simply to have it transform, and that transformation could take place at the time when it's Vadai and not in the time that it's Safek. Now we're going to stop here by the Mishnah, because this is a sugya that continues straight through to Lamed Zayin, and we'll start with the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf.